Say with me the principle of God. So I want to touch like on two. Say with me, say the principle of God. The word principle is the word principality comes from the word principle. So when you have a principle in your life, it means that principle becomes a principality in a good way, meaning the principality is something that rules and governs over something, over a city in the area of demonic, over city and nations. But if we take it in this context, a principle is something that rules over somebody, is a principality in your life. When we understand the principles of God, the principalities of God, and we take it in our life and we understand it, He will move in our lives. Listen, it's a principle. There's certain principles that God has. For example, and I can go many, we're not going to go through all of them, but just for example, let me give you the one, the law, the principle of divine selection. Say with me, divine selection. I did not say divine election. I said divine selection. Go for it to Luke 4, verse number 25. Listen to this. Luke 4, verse 25. Listen to the scripture. Jesus is saying, but I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. Listen to this. Many widows were in Israel. Say with him, many widows. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. Next verse. But to none of them, say with him, none of them, Elijah was sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. So there were many widows. Are you guys with me? But Elijah wasn't sent to any of them. He was only sent to Zarephath, another region. And then he goes to a woman who is also a widow. Are you guys with me? So Elijah, the man who could call fire down from heaven, the man who was able to do a lot of healings, miracles, a lot of creative miracles, a man who was not scared, he could raise the dead, Elijah, the man who didn't even die, went to heaven straight. God didn't send him to heal and to reach out or to heal any widow, but he only went to one widow. That means that God is still in the business. We have the saying as preachers, we say, God is going to raise everybody up and everybody's going to become Billy Graham's and everybody's going to be... No, no, no. It's not in scripture. God is still in the business where the scripture is saying, my eyes are looking to and fro around the whole world, to looking to those to whom I can show myself strong on their behalf, looking for those who are loyal and faithful. God's eyes are moving all around the earth, looking for a people, looking for a remnant that is hungry and desperate, who's saying, I've applied laws and principles in my life. I've been humble and I've been going through the process. His eyes are searching out. Listen, his eyes are continually searching. In the Hebrew, if you study the picture, it's like a military search mission. How God's eyes is on. Just to find a person to whom he can put his spirit upon and raise that person up and become a wonder. Listen, God is still in the business of anointing people, individuals, to say, I want to use that one. Now, the scripture that we read, it is also what we call divine selection, the sovereignty of God. That's why there's not a place really where everybody is healed. If there's not a place really where it's usually... You'll see Jesus heal one person and you'll walk, and then he will heal another person and then you'll walk. It's what we call divine selection. There's no explanation for us as to why Jesus didn't go to everybody and heal everybody. Some people have a question, why are there so many kids dying in Africa? Why does God not do divine selection? He still requires a man to be raised up and place his anointing upon that man. And let that man bring the solution. But now people can say, okay, but why can that man then not sort out things? It's because man still has his own will. God has to work with his anointing together with a man with his own will. It's called divine selection, meaning that God is looking for people who he can select and chooses. Are you guys with me? He uses every, it's like this, it's the scripture says, many are called, but only few are chosen. Many are called, which means that if you're sitting here in this place, every person has a calling of God upon their lives. But not every person is chosen. Are you guys with me? Every person has a calling, but not everybody is divinely selected. Then there are people, they've been selected divinely before birth. Then there are other people, like many of us, who we go through a process or we do something to align ourselves where God can select us. Say with me, the principle of process. The principle of process. Listen, everything in life has a process, meaning that if you look at an olive tree, how to get the anointing. An olive tree is first beaten with sticks. Once it's beaten with sticks, olives fall down. So for the anointing oil to be upon your life, there is a process. For the anointing to come upon your life, you have to be beaten by people. Are you guys with me? You have to be beaten by the devil, by people, by brothers and sisters, by those. You're beaten. The more you're beaten, the olives then begins to fall. Then they take the olives and they begin to squash and crush it for the oil to flow out of it. Then they take that which is crushed and they're siphoning that oil to get all the residue and all those things out. And then they split to the fresh oil from another liquid residue. But what is it doing? It's continually going through a process. A pregnant woman is going through a process. When a child is born, it's going through a process. Are you guys with me? The Bible says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear any fruit. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it will remain and bear much fruit. Meaning there's a process that we call a process of falling, a process of dying, and a process of bearing fruit. Are you guys with me? These are processes. Everything, if you look at laws and how God has put it in, it works through a process. Are you guys with me? Say with me, process. Listen. Going through the process that I'm saying now, I'm speaking about the law of process. Going through the principle of process. Going through the principle of process will allow us to align ourselves to be able to receive the principle of selection, where God selects you. Every Christian, God has a process for you to start and to end. Only problem is many of them get aborted early, is prematurely birthed, or is just stillborn at the end. I don't know what it is, but these things take place. Every Christian has a process. It's my greatest heart pain when I've seen Christians start a process. And I'll explain to you now how these things work. And then halfway through, they get on fire or something. Halfway through in the process, there's a time of testing. There's a time of when God is going to, it's like writing exams, if I can say it like that. And it's there where they fail and they run away. Let's put on the screen for you. Listen, Exodus chapter number 30. Exodus 30, verse 32. Let me just read you something. Exodus 30, verse 32. Listen to this. Go from 31. Just want to see what it says. This shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. Next verse. Now we know the holy anointing oil is still oil and also the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It shall not, say with me, not be poured out on man's flesh. The anointing, God will forbid, God will not allow the anointing to come upon a flesh of a person. What I mean by flesh, when a person is a Christian, but they're living a carnal life. Are you guys with me? They're living a carnal life. On Sunday they're here, Monday they're drunk, Tuesday they're in that club there, Wednesday they're sleeping with that. And then there's no way the anointing, that God will anoint, consecrate and separate them. His anointing is holy. Are you guys with me? Nor shall you make any other like it. Just on that sentence I can preach. Many ministers operate in another anointing that they have made impure. It's still an anointing, but it's another one of it. It's not the holy anointing oil. Are you guys with me? According to its composition, it is holy and it shall be holy to you. Next verse. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. Next verse. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices. Now, I'm not going to read this. He explains the whole compound of the anointing, and we have gone through that. But what he's saying, listen here, this anointing is holy. It's precious. It's not to discourage you. It's to make you think that I want to pay the price. Listen, there is a price to pay for the anointing. We sometimes get away from these old Pentecostal messages, but there's a price. There's a price to be paid to be away from your family. And God says, pray. I want you to pray or fast or do this. And the more time you spend away from your family, and the thing is, and you're broken, but then you feel the anointing of God coming on you. Next time you're doing a meeting, you're taking a mic, and the glory of God is all over the place. What is happening? You're beginning to build a history with God. It's paying a price, and He puts His anointing upon you. Are you guys with me? And I want to share with you where it happens. Listen. Let me go to the process. The process of the anointing. And I'm going to speak from 2 Kings. Put on the screen 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 1. And we'll kind of like close off with this as we get to the time. I want to get this process through to you. And I want you to understand this. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Say with me, Gilgal. So the first place, and listen, before I get to this, let me explain to you a little bit. If you had Elisha and Elijah, that Elijah was called to serve Elijah. Elijah literally walked like this past Elisha. Elisha was busy plowing the oxen. Are you guys with me? He had 12 yokes of oxen, which means that he was a big businessman. 12 yoke of oxen. And as he was walking like this, he walked past Elisha, and Elijah threw his mantle onto Elisha. And he said, come, follow me. And Elisha, the Bible says, left everything behind and followed him. And then he said, can I go and say goodbye to my mother, my father, and farewell? And Elijah said these words. I love these words. He says, what have I to do with you? And he carries on. And Elijah said to him, what have I to do? And you'll see right throughout, from that moment to the point where Elijah is taken up, every time he discourages Elisha to get away from him. Are you guys with me? At every town, he says to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord is going to take me, but stay here. And you see Elisha disobediently saying, as long as you live, as long as your soul lives, and as long as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. Listen, so the Bible says Elisha killed all his business, cut up the meat, gave it to his family, bid them farewell, and he ran. So if he ran, he didn't walk or walk slowly, he ran after Elijah, which means that he ran after the anointing. Are you guys with me? And that's where Elisha's life started. From there, and then 8 to 12 years later only, he served Elijah around 8 to 12 years, the scholars will tell us. But we see absolutely nowhere where Elisha has prayed or fasted. We only hear things that he has done. Like, for example, the kings would say that he is the man who threw water on the hands of Elijah. So the word of the Lord must be with him. Are you guys with me? Let me just give you a key. How do you prophesy? That even the kings knew a principle that if that man threw water on the hands of a prophet Elijah, the word of the Lord is with him as well. Bring him to me. You're not getting it yet. Okay, I'm trying to give you a secret. Say with these secrets. If you don't want it, then you can just, okay, close your ears. Elisha didn't pray. He didn't fast according to scripture. What we have known, nowhere in the scripture does it explain to us that, Elisha. Okay? But what he did do, he served Elijah. That a worldly king would know that even if somebody just as little as washes the hands of a prophet, pure importation has taken place. And that one can prophesy now to kings. That's the secret. That a king would know that. So there are things, I always say to my team, I say, guys, your tithing is great, all this stuff, okay? But serving brings the anointing. I'm going to say it again. Serving brings the anointing. It's You cannot bypass that step. Say with his serving. The anointing starts with serving. Elisha started to serve Elijah. Ran after him. Left everything behind. Burnt it up. Gave the food to his family. Left everything behind. And he followed the anointing. If you want to see somebody who is used by God, it is somebody that is saying, I've left everything behind to follow God for my life. If you listen to every general, every person right now that has been used mightily by God, there are times and seasons in their lives where they had to leave everything behind. That is a principle that you cannot get around. Listen. Say with you, Gilgal. So the place of Gilgal, if you see what I read there, Elisha followed Elijah. The first place they went by before Elijah was taken up into heavens, the first place they went by was called Gilgal. Say with you, Gilgal. Gilgal means to be circumcised. Are you guys with me? One of the first, listen to this. The Israelites died in Egypt. Are you guys with me? And when they, with Moses, they died out. And God said to Moses, Moses, you will not enter the promised land. And you and this whole generation will not enter into the promised land. And you'll read that that generation did not want to do circumcision. Are you guys with me? They didn't want to cut off their past. Every time they said, oh, I wish we could go back to Egypt. The leeks and the onions, at least there we had food. At least there we had this. At least there, yeah, Moses, we have nothing in this wilderness. Yet God is feeding them manna every day. There's a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. No enemy could touch them where they were. But they were complaining and complaining and complaining all the time. When that generation died out, and there's a new generation that was rising up as the Israelites, God said to Joshua, okay, now as I was with Moses, Joshua, so will I be with you. And you will take this people over to Jordan, over the Jordan, and take them into the promised land. But God commanded Joshua one thing. He says, I want you to circumcise these people. Meaning, the first thing I want from these people, before they can touch their promise, I want them to die to themselves. I want their flesh to die. Listen. Circumcision means this. It means the cutting off of flesh and unwanted flesh. There are Christians who carry on living in areas of flesh. That's why the anointing isn't coming on them or continually. Are you guys with me? Okay, say with me, as death to self. Listen, I just want to read you one or two points here before we go on to the next one. It is an error to desire the anointing and material things at the same time. It is the anointings. I remember I had a vision one day, and God gave me hands, and I saw I was lying on my bed. It was like not even a vision. I was completely taken out, and I was in another place, and I saw two hands coming out. One with oil that was dripping like gold from his hand, and the other one with money. And at that moment of my life, I could have chosen to go full-time ministry rather, or to approach the world and go do business or work somewhere. And that was offered to me, and I had a decision to make, either the anointing or money. And when I'm going to get to a certain place here to explain something. I'm not there to preach and say anybody that does business is wrong. No, we need business, or any professional or a doctor is wrong. But there's a thing that God loves that is close to his heart. It doesn't matter what our callings is, that we keep his kingdom as first priority. Whether it is funding the kingdom, whether it is saving souls in the marketplace, whether it is that whether you're at your workplace or at your business, but you can still minister to people, pray for them, leading them to the Lord. He wants to raise you up a worthy minister wherever you are at. Are you guys with me? Listen. This is where we make a choice, where our ultimate priority. Now, at Gilgal is where we choose money or the anointing, material things, or I'm going to die to myself and focus on God. Are you guys with me? Until we die to our flesh, nothing will happen. Listen. At Gilgal, there's a few things that happened at Gilgal also. The other thing that happened was the manna from heaven stopped, meaning that the supernatural abundance that God gave the Israelites began to cease, and they had to live by faith. Gilgal as the first place of journey, that is where God will want to push you to live by faith. Are you guys with me? Listen, Gilgal, this is let me tell you what happened at Gilgal as a summary. Gilgal is a place of circumcision. It is a place of death to self and to the desires of the flesh. Gilgal is a place where I die. Gilgal is a place of the renewal of covenant with the circumcision. Gilgal is a place where you start exercising your faith because manna from heaven stopped. Gilgal is a place of the way of this where you get the spirit of faith on you. Now you're beginning to have faith and to live by faith. Are you guys with me? Say with me, Bethel. The place of Bethel, the second place they went to. Go through to verse 2, next verse. Elijah took Elisha and they walked. They said, then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. Look at this. Every time Elijah discourages him to keep him away from the mantle, Elijah knew exactly a mantle was going to be given to him. Are you guys with me? God came to Elijah. God said, anoint Elijah. This one and that one. There's three of them. Anoint them that they may take over. And Elijah might take your place when you go. Elisha. Elijah knew exactly Elisha's going to get the mantle. But he was busy testing him. I want to see how hungry he is. Stay at this town. I'm going to go alone. Elisha says, no, I will go with you. As long as my soul lives, as long as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. Are you guys with me? Then the sons of the prophets would come to him. Other young prophets, other young people would come to him and say, listen, stay. Don't you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you? Rather stay here. Don't go with him. And then he would say, Elisha would say, leave me alone. I know God is going to take my master away from me. Listen, when you're going to go into the process, say with the process, when you're getting into the process, every sister and brother in the house will be attacking you. I can promise you that. Are you guys with me? Listen, say with the Bethel. Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. The second place is Bethel. Let me just read these points to you. I'm not going to go through it too much. I just want you to get the places. This is what we call the principle of process. Bethel is where Jacob was having an encounter with God. The angels came from up from heaven, descending and ascending. He woke up and he says, this is none other but the house of God. Bethel, the gateway to heaven. When you get to Bethel, it is a place of the house of God. Are you guys with me? This is where people come into the ministry and they're beginning to say, I want to get involved. I've died to myself. I've cut off the flesh. I've died to everything. Now my spiritual eyes are beginning to open. I want to build the house of God. This is the place where people are getting involved in the vision, in discipleship. Are you guys with me? Bethel is the place of building altars. Listen. Abraham built an altar at Bethel, which means sacrifice. Are you guys with me? Bethel is a place of sacrifice. When you get here, God is going to require sacrifice. It is a place of personally wrestling with God. Jacob went back to this place of Bethel, and a man came and wrestled with him right through the night. But that man was an angel of the Lord. Are you guys with me? Jacob wrestled with him right through the night. Jacob wrestled. When you are wrestling with God, you are now stepping into a place where you are personally engaging with God and not always asking somebody else to pray for you or to fast for you or to do this, but you have this relationship with God where you are personally engaging with Him. Say with me, Bethel. And then at Bethel, Jacob said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. How awesome is this? I did not know this. His spiritual eyes began to open from that place on. It is from that place on forward where you will see visions and dreams coming to Jacob. From that place beforehand, no visions, nothing happened to him. His spiritual eyes opens at that place. Are you guys with me? When believers get past the place of dying to self, past the place of killing the flesh, they get into a place where their eyes are being opened. Their spiritual eyes are being opened, where they now can become useful in the house of God called Bethel. Are you guys with me? Say with it, Jericho. The next place they went to was Jericho. Elijah went with Elisha past Jericho. And at Jericho, he said the same thing. Stay here, stay. And Elisha said, I'm not going to stay here. Listen, Jericho is, you all know what happened at Jericho. That's where Joshua commanded the armies to walk around the walls. And at a certain time, to begin to shout. And the walls came down. Are you guys with me? Jericho is a place of physical barriers. but it is also a place of prophetic instruction. This is one thing people don't fully understand. We always want to fast and pray and do this and that for God to work, but many times God works with a prophetic instruction. He'll just tell you, do this and then that will happen. Are you guys with me? When it comes to sowing and reaping, just sow, you will reap. You don't have to sow now, go pray and fast and beg for God to bless you. You've sown. When a seed falls into the ground, it will come up. Are you guys with me? When it falls into healthy soil. So these are prophetic things that where Joshua was given a specific, detailed instructions by God. Do this, do that, walk around like that so many times. At that time, everyone shouts. When they did it, the walls begin to break down. So Jericho is a place of prophetic instruction. It's a place of physical barriers. Are you guys with me? It's a place of spiritual warfare. This is the third place. Once our eyes are opened, once we've had an encounter with God at Bethel, we get to a place of Jericho, and this is the place where everybody attacks you in the ministry. There's walls, there's limitations. It's this place where you feel like you want to give up. But when you make it through this place, are you guys with me? When you make it through this place, you get to a place called Jordan. Say with me, Jordan. And this is the last point. We won't be finished. Every time I see we're going to like 10 minutes over, that's fine. Say with me, Jordan. 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse 12. Just put that on for me. 2 Kings 2, verse 12. Listen to this. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Next verse. He also took up the mantle. Say with me, took up the mantle of Elijah and that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Go for the next verse. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided. Are you guys with me? He did not pray or fast before this. He didn't go on his knees and ask God, how must I do this? He took impartation that fell from him. And he said, if my God did it for that man, if God did it for Elijah, now I have his mantle. The only way I can do it is by copying what Elijah did. Are you guys with me? Elijah did that when he came to Jordan, and let me do the same. Slap the Jordan with my mantle and it opens up. It's called, listen, it is, that's what I'm saying. This is the secret. Say with me, Jordan, the place of Jordan. Listen here, it's amazing. Elisha only recognized Elijah as his spiritual father at Jordan. He only recognized him as his father there. Before that, it was master this, prophet this. But when he got to Jordan, he realized and he had a perception, this person that I've been serving all the time, they're actually my father in the spirit. The Bible says, then the mantle fell from Elijah. And then Elisha could pick up the mantle. Mantles do not come from religious organizations. Mantles do not come from institutions or businesses or anything like that. A mantle comes from fatherhood. I can listen. It's only a father that can impart to people. Are you guys with me? Listen. Jordan. The anointing, listen. I said to you, the anointing does not come with prayer fasting. Disciples around Jesus, they never prayed. They never fasted. They tried to pray. They couldn't really. They fell asleep when they had to. But yet when Jesus left, the anointing was on them. So the key to the anointing is not prayer and fasting. Prayer is to have a relationship with God. Fasting is to break our outer man. Are you guys with me? The anointing comes through serving. Comes through a place where I understand this is where God has called me. In this place, I want to advance the kingdom here. Whether I'm asked to clean the floors or hand out things at the door, whatever it is, I want to serve until I enter the call of God for my life. You cannot abort, bypass, or skip the process. Are you guys with me? It'll become a premature promise that is dying when that happens. Many people jump ship. Many people jump that process. They start a ministry and the thing never ever grows. Listen, at Jordan, Jordan is a place of spiritual perception of your spiritual father. Jordan is a place of opened heaven. Jordan is a place of receiving the mantle. It is a place of double portion. It is a place of receiving the prophetic anointing. Listen, please take note that Elisha had to go through all of this. Number one, killing his flesh. This is the first step to the anointing. Dying to myself. Every will, every desire. If something in my heart says, oh, I don't want to come to church, I want to sleep in, I must kill it. Are you guys with me? Everything that comes against the spiritual thing, I must kill. Any own desire, I must die to myself. Death to myself. Then the second one, we get to Bethel. That's where we have encounters with God. That's where our spiritual eyes open. We do sacrifices in that place. It is at Bethel where people get on fire and want to start the ministry. Listen, it is at Bethel. Why? Because at Gilgal, they died to themselves. Now the Spirit is beginning to work. When they reach Bethel, you'll hear them say, I believe I'm called to the ministry. God wants to work through me. They have a hunger for God now. Are you guys with me? Then Jericho is a place of warfare. Just when you're about to think God is going to use you, warfare comes. Then you get to Jericho. Then you get to Jordan. Once you reach Jordan, it's the place of open heavens, receiving the mantle. Are you guys with me? This is a process God can reoccur and repeat in your life over and over and over with each season. Are you guys with me?